I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, your chance for money comes next hour. A keyword will be revealed about 3:20 here on the John and Ken Show in our inflation compensation contest. Also, we'll be talking to the city attorney for Huntington Beach. The news came from Sacramento. The governor, Gavin Newsom, the attorney general, Rob Bonta, they're going after Huntington Beach for not wanting to build over 13,000 new homes to destroy what the people there believe is the character of the city by adding that many homes to a very pleasant beach community. So we'll talk about all this in about an hour here on KFI. Tell me what's wrong with this story, because it's another one on the loose. A guy by the name of Giovanni Ojeda, he got a sentence, 6 years for grand theft auto, second-degree robbery, and possession of a gun by a felon as a second striker. He was admitted to prison, L.A. County Jail, November 3rd, 2021. Okay, now I said 6 years. Here it is, March of 2023. What's that, about a year and a half?
Not even.
He's gone. He was in the Male Community Reentry Program in Los Angeles. It's a minimum security facility, and he ran off. They're looking for him now.
He was in minimum security? And what did he do again? What were those crimes?
Grand theft auto, second-degree robbery, possession of a gun by a felon who was a second striker.
That's not minimum security.
That's why I said that's what's wrong with this story, right?
By the way,
but that's how they treat these people.
He should have been put in prison.
No, they put him in a minimum security facility, and he was part of the Male Community Reentry Program. You know, you're supposed to treat them nice. They really want to rejoin society and be good folks.
I guess he was so inspired, he's already reentered the community.
He said, I've had enough. He left. So wow, the California Department of Corrections and Rehab is putting out a bolo looking for him now. Be on the lookout
for this guy.
They call it a bolo.
Like a bolo tie?
A bolo tie, yeah.
Bolo.
So, yeah.
Well, he's now reentered. Isn't that great?
He has. He's decided that I'm ready for society. I don't care. I don't know how much longer they were supposed to keep him there. Just because he got a 6-year sentence doesn't mean he was going to serve 6 years. In a year and a half, he was already in minimal lockup.
Okay, so he's probably committing crimes right now, he'll get caught, and there'll be a police chase because he doesn't want to go back to prison for the 6 years. And we're going to watch the police chase and wonder. I wonder why he's trying to get away from cops there. Why do you think he's doing that?
I'm laughing, but it's probably going to happen.
That's pretty much the story for all these. Most of the time, they're running away from prison.
Watching the dopey governor, Gavin Newsom just did an interview on MSNBC with a woman by the name of Jen Psaki. She used to be the spokeshole for Joe Biden.
Remember, she had red hair.
Yeah.
She was one of these double-talking goofs all politicians hire.
No.
And they talk in circles, and the reporters, if it's a Democratic president, go, uh-huh, okay, wait, slow down. You know, they're transcribers. They're stenographers, all the reporters. Whatever you say, Ms. Psaki, yes, sir.
So Newsom is on this tour where, you know, I'm not running for president. I'm just trying to stand up for Democrats. He formed a new political action committee. He went to the South last week, and now he's doing a bunch of television interviews. Because really, we have nothing that he needs to pay attention to here in California. Do we have anything that needs any kind of looking after?
No.
Okay,
well, should we go through the list? The busted budget, the excessive taxes, the extreme homelessness, the out of control crime.
I got a task force for that. They're doing the work. A task force.
The water shortage, the electricity shortage, the...
high gas prices?
High gas prices.
No. No. Well, I've already assigned that. We're going to tax the oil companies.
Blue ribbon panels.
I got it all figured out. Now I want to just comment on abortion and school books.
God. He can't shut up about abortion. Every other word out of his mouth is abortion, abortion. Oh, my God.
Well, you told me once years ago that that's the key issue for a certain segment of the Democratic voters.
It is. And,
yeah.
It says single women, overwhelmingly, because they're the ones likely to get pregnant and they don't have a husband. They need to get rid of the baby.
So the playbook is, if you're running for president, you're only interested in primary voters, right? So you can hone in on a couple of issues, get them to turn out for you, because there could be 10 candidates running, and you just need to make a good showing. Then when you get to the general election, you ignore all that stuff. You go for the bigger issues, the economy, stupid, stuff like that. So on this show, the first clip we're going to play is apparently a strategy. This is an idiot that does have his own dopey playbook. And I think the strategy is get people more interested in Trump than DeSantis because we can beat Trump. We already did it once. We're going to do it again. Doesn't matter whether it's me or Biden running. Let's listen to this.
I thought he looked weak. This is purely the politician in me, my political punditry. Yeah. Nothing worse than a politician, current one, being a political pundit. So let me forgive all of us.
We'll give you a moment. We'll give you a moment.
Because you just lived too subjective. In an effort to be objective as a pundit, you just look weak. Weakness masquerading as strength.
So if you're not advising Governor DeSantis, I know that. But
What does it mean, weakness masquerading as strength? DeSantis looks weak? You could say a lot of criticisms if you disagree, but he's not weak. Like, that's one of those things. This is what he does about all the issues in California. He says the opposite, and he says the opposite really loudly, and you're not supposed to believe your own eyes.
And he talks in riddles.
He wants
to sound like a fortune cookie saying, right?
He's about as bright
weakness
as a fortune cookie.
Weakness disguised as a strength.
Weakness disguised. I don't know what that means.
He also said that Joe Biden is presenting a master class in governing. This really is the opposite world.
Wow.
What governing?
It's say anything. But say it loudly and strongly, and you have this compliant little ass-kissing sycophant.
Well, the playbook says, I want to be on the right side here. I support Joe Biden. I'm going to be a good Democrat. And I want to stick a pin in DeSantis because he's going to be a tougher one to beat.
Let me tell you. Newsom is scared of DeSantis because you notice he's not yelling this about Mike Pence, right? Because Mike Pence isn't a threat. He's not yelling this about Nikki Haley. He's yelling it about DeSantis because DeSantis is a very strong candidate with a big following. So he's trying to taunt DeSantis into getting into some pissing match. And DeSantis won't do it. So he keeps upping the ante, saying something more cutting, more aggressive, more insulting to try to get a rise out of DeSantis. And DeSantis is just flicking him away like a mosquito. It's like, I'm busy. Play some more.
What is his political path here? Should he be running away from criticizing Trump? Should he be speaking up for the rule of law?
He's going to get rolled by Trump. Trump's just going to roll him. Thumped. I honestly, if I were offering him political advice, I'd tell him to pack up and wait a few years. and actually do some of the hard work, which actually includes governing, not just identity and culture war. Actually go back and actually start to address issues, start to address some of the cost issues, and particularly cost of housing. These are very familiar. I'm very humbled by all of this. I understand the systemic trouble. I'm the first to acknowledge.
You're
humble. I'm my own worst critic. I'd be working on some of those, basically.
You snotty little brat.
I'd expand Medicaid. The backs of folks out there that need preventative care. I'd be focusing on the acuity of the environment, Mother Nature. She bats last, bats a thousand. I know that from being in Little Rock and Wynn down in Arkansas.
Stop this a second. DeSantis' approval rating is over 60%.
If he got
60% of the vote.
Anybody.
They're happy with
it. In the real world actually heard this interview because it's on MSNBC, which has a microscopic audience. They'd have to be wincing, staring at the screen, crunching up their face and going, is he saying anything here? It's just a lot of babble.
And
but he likes to use phrases.
It's false.
Are hip, weakness masquerading as strength.
Florida has the most people moving to it of any state in the union.
I know. And he's like, oh, he should go back and be governor. What are you doing? You're doing the nationwide tour like you're running for president.
You have the most people.
Like we have no problems?
You have the most people leaving a state. DeSantis has the most people moving into the state.
All right, when we come back,
we're
going to play another clip, which is a little bizarre, and it concerns a bit of an attack on Trump himself, because the whole indictment takes us back to who else but Stormy Daniels. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 to 4 every afternoon, and then after 4 o'clock, you could hear the podcast on the iHeart app, John and Ken on demand. So anything you miss, you can hear. After 4 o'clock, it gets posted.
We're talking about Governor Dippity Do, who clearly is running for president either in 2024 or 2028. He's trying to solidify his reputation within his own party, so he's appearing in friendly places and on MSNBC. We're going to play another clip in a moment. I just want to point something out that the Wall Street Journal published the other day. The Bureau of Economic Analysis just published their 2022 report on state personal income growth. This accounts for, obviously, an increase in everybody's incomes. It grew the most in states that were Idaho, Texas, Nevada, Florida, Arkansas, North Carolina, and Tennessee. Who was 50th? California. California ranked dead last.
In income growth.
And what they pointed out was weird about this is you could say, well, in 2020, yeah, California did the lockdown thing into 2021. But 2022 was supposed to be the year that states that even had severe lockdowns would make a comeback in measurements like income growth. And California still dead last. And I like the way they pointed out, left out of this were receipts like food stamps and Medicaid, which were notorious for handing out.
This is real income, not fake income.
It's wages, wage supplements, and
fake
things like
printed
that.
Money. Well, because Newsom shut down and destroyed tens of thousands of businesses. So they don't reopen. These businesses went bankrupt. They shut down forever.
Right.
A lot of people were thrown out of work. The wide open states are the ones that have the fastest growing incomes because they weren't put out of work for very long. They were able to recover quickly. And that's the thing. He's not going to survive very long. Whether it's Trump or DeSantis, it's easy to point this out. If he's the nominee, he destroyed the California economy. He destroyed kids' educations. They're way behind still in math and reading. Way behind. Much worse than they were a few years ago. The businesses in much worse shape than a few years ago. The budget now is going to be in much worse shape. He's ruined the state. But I don't know, too many people stoned.
Florida had more than double the increase in net earnings in California. Had almost an 11% increase. California stuck at 5%.
I'm telling you.
Dead last.
I went to Florida last year. I'm going to go again this summer. It is boom times. It reminded me when I moved to California. That is where the action is happening. And DeSantis is wildly popular, including with Democrats. I mean, he won Miami-Dade County, for God's sakes.
So now this clip of Newsom on MSNBC's Jen Psaki show, which I'm sure is bookmarked by many of you as a favorite. The former White House spokeshole apparently has her own dopey talk show. He went on there. This clip is a little bizarre And of course, the hot topic still was the Trump indictment, which brings us back to a woman by the name of Stormy Daniels, not her real name, but her porn actress name. And this is what was discussed between Jen Psaki and Newsom.
Sure, I'm for accountability wherever it lay. I'm for responsibility regardless of status and title. Of course, accountability in that respect. I'm also saddened by it. I mean, I refer to it as a spectacle. It's a spectacle. Can you imagine what the rest of the world is thinking? It's just sad. It's sad. I mean, I'm not even making this up. Before I come here to the Rosa Parks Museum in Alabama, before I come here to visit with Bryan Stevenson's Legacy Museum, talking about lynching and slavery, which, by the way, occurred in my state, in the state of California, in the persistence and the assaults against the African-American community at this moment, I was having to explain to my 11-year-old what a porn star was, okay? Mm-hmm. On TV, that's a little depressing and distressing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to get him to focus on the world he's living in, which to me is so much more profound than what's being pronounced on the national news right now. Not that's not consequential. Mm-hmm. Profoundly so in the context of our body politic in the future.
Profoundly so in the context of our body politic?
Between that.
What did that mean?
And
wait, stop.
I have no idea.
Go back. I want to play that line again.
Profound than what's being pronounced on the national news right now. Not that's not consequential. Mm-hmm. Profoundly so in the context of our body politic in the future.
Stop it there. What he's trying to say is just the whole embarrassment of an indictment involving a porn actress. I think that's what he's trying to say. It's profoundly sad. I think that's what he's trying to say there. That's all I can come up with on that
one. Is that what your decoder ring says?
You know what? I'm not a good Newsom decoder, but every now and then, I think because he repeats himself, I get some of it.
The body politic. What is that?
Jen Psaki must have been falling asleep, leaning over, listening to. I know the body politic. Has anyone ever said that out loud?
My body
politic. I don't even think I've seen that in print.
My body politic is inflamed. I don't know about you. I've got to use an ointment.
Well, let's finish this. There might be another gem.
Profoundly so in the context of our body politic in the future. But I'm just trying to find some balance between that and what's happening all across this country. The racial injustice that occurs every single day, where there's no accountability, where people are rolling back people's rights, where demeaning poor people, demeaning people because they love differently, demeaning and bullying folks with intellectual disabilities like that guy Ron DeSantis attacking and threatening the Special Olympics, going after free speech, banning books.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a serious thing as well. And I guess I'm just trying to find a little bit of balance in the context of the current politics that are shaping at least our national debate
right now. And how things are impacting people's lives very much, which those issues are impacting people a lot more.
Wow.
Did he mention his daughter not knowing what a porn star is?
I think it was his son.
That was in there, yeah. I wonder if he mentioned to his daughter about having sex with his campaign manager's wife. Mm.
Yeah, that scandal.
Yeah, you remember Ruby Rippey Gibney.
Tork?
Was married to Alex Tork. Yeah. Alex Tork was Newsom's campaign manager. Rippey Gibney was Newsom's appointment secretary when he was mayor. And he was having sex with Ruby Rippey Gibney while she was married to Alex Tork. And they were both working for Newsom.
Hmm.
Is the daughter brought that up? Daddy, what's adultery? What does it mean when you sleep with your secretary? Were you both tired?
It's just hard to follow him. And even if you try to focus and follow him, you still just get disinterested.
No,
all right,
I
more
know.
Coming up.
You know, you can't sit through it long enough even to make fun of him. It's just, you just want it to end.
John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, the voice line is coming back in a few days, so a quick reminder to get your messages in there. They will be reviewed. You can use the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, or call the old Moist line number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. This making news this afternoon, we talked a bit last week, and I think the week before, about the next Gavin Newsom. This is San Diego County Supervisor Nathan Fletcher. He's been in politics a while, and he had his sights set on a state Senate seat, and beyond that, everyone believes he wants to be governor of California. Well, all that came crashing down because he got sued for sexual misconduct. So he took a leave of absence from the Board of Supervisors and announced he was entering rehab. And the update today is all of his colleagues on the Board of Supervisors approved a vote of no confidence against him. They want him to immediately resign. He had announced he was going to resign effective May 15th. The only one that spoke up about him quitting now last week was Supervisor Jim Desmond. He came on our show last week. But now they've all joined him, and they all want Fletcher to leave now. And we think he wanted to stay around because he can collect a little chunk of money.
It's like Ridley Thomas. You stay around to pay your legal bills.
Yeah.
I would too. You stay as long as you can to get more tax money in your account, and you got to pay the lawyers.
Yeah.
So you don't have to resign just because people tell you to. You make them force you out.
Ask Kevin De Leon.
Like, look what Kevin De Leon did. De Leon just said no.
Right.
And what was that? 6 months ago? It happened?
Oh yeah, yeah. That was late last year.
Yeah. So now it's April of 2023, and De Leon's still representing.
Yeah, I don't expect Fletcher will quit before May 15th. Just because they have a no confidence vote doesn't mean he has to go.
No.
At least they agreed, including his Democratic colleagues, that you really ought to be gone now.
This, you know, all these calls for resignation with politicians, everybody gets on their little pompous soapbox, right? Well, I demand that you resign. First of all, you're talking about dirty politicians, all right? You're not talking about a noble profession here. You're not talking about noble, honest, decent people. You're talking about a bunch of dirty slime bags. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them are, okay? And a lot of them are screwed around on their wives and chasing the interns around, and they got all kinds of alcohol and drug problems. Nathan Fletcher's problems are not unique among politicians. But you know, you win a couple of points in the media by saying, I demand his resignation. They don't care.
Now, moving on to the real world, there are some that believe the next big pandemic to hit us worldwide will be bacteria that are resistant to all of our available antibiotics. There's a story that apparently they have found something called colistin, which, they have colistin, which is an antibiotic. It's considered a last resort antibiotic. They have found bacteria in Los Angeles County wastewater that is resistant to our last resort antibiotic.
Who's pooping that in?
This is the first time that they have detected this in LA County wastewater.
All right, so somebody passing that through their system?
Correct. It ends up in the sewage, and I guess when they test the sewage, they found bacteria that are resistant to this drug called colistin.
Are these people dead?
No, wastewater. It's your poop.
Right, but they passed it through. They didn't die from.
We don't know. I don't know the answer to that. They were discovered during surveillance of wastewater. It could be dead people, living people that excreted it. It could be that this particular bacteria that's resistant to colistin didn't kill them, but it could kill other people. Mm-hmm. That's usually how it works with pandemics. Some people can survive. But other people with immunity problems and other issues do not survive.
But it's been in some people's poop.
It has. The untreated water was taken from two of LA County's largest treatment plants, one in Carson and the Hyperion Reclamation Plant, which people know well in Playa del Rey, which is along Vista Del Mar there. It smells if you ever drive past
that
thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we went past it a few weeks ago. Yeah, that is.
Some days it's almost intolerable. You're like, oh my God.
Well, you're inhaling the county's waste.
Yes,
that's 10 million people poop, 10 million people's worth of poop.
It says here, testing found antibiotic-resistant genes on two what they call novel small plasmids, circular pieces of DNA that can be shared among different types of unrelated bacteria.
Mm. This is self-inflicted.
It is. You're exactly right. So the more and more people demand and get antibiotics, what you're going to have is a small but a percentage of the bacteria that will survive the antibiotic, even though most of them will be killed, and then, you know, it reproduces like everything else does in the world.
Just Darwinism, survival of the fittest. The ones that mutate survive the existing antibiotics, and now you have something you can't kill. And this came in part because there's a lot of idiot people who, when COVID was swirling around, they went to their doctor and demanded an antibiotic. And the doctors are not supposed to hand them out unless they know for sure it's a bacterial infection. Like my doctor, he does not hand them out. He refuses to.
But COVID wasn't a bacterial infection.
Right, which is why if you have a smart doctor, he says no. But the average dunce of a patient goes, I want an antibiotic anyway. A lot of mothers do this with their kids. Their kids get sick. My mother was like this too. Well, we got to get an antibiotic. It's like, no, Mom, don't get an antibiotic. Because when I was a little kid, I learned this, that if everybody takes antibiotics, none of them are going to work. And antibiotics only kill viruses. Antibiotics only kill bacteria. They do not kill viruses. Never. They never kill viruses. But people don't understand it. You know what happens with the doctors? They're afraid of losing business. If you go to enough doctors, you'll find one who will give you an antibiotic that won't kill your virus. And the other doctors don't want to lose their patients. So, okay, well, just this once.
Colistin is considered the last line of defense against certain infections, including those that are resistant to something called carbapenems, another last resort class of antibiotics. So they found this troubling. They found colistin resistance back in 2015 in China, and there was somebody who died in 2016 in Los Angeles, found to have been infected with E. coli bacteria that carried a colistin resistance gene.
There you go.
Wow.
No, it's our own fault.
Strange as it is, bacteria, they're organisms, and they have their own makeup, and
we deserve
the ones that can survive can be resistant. So one of the last quotes in this story is that they better find a way to deal with this, or this could be the next pandemic. The growing evidence is if we don't get a handle on antibiotic resistance, the number of deaths
The
next pandemic.
Have to stop prescribing it, even if it means they lose patients. It would help if the patients stopped demanding it, but most people are stupid and they don't read and they don't understand. So the doctors are stuck with a whole roster of stupid, uninformed patients, and his livelihood depends on them. So they give in.
One last note. The Hyperion plant, they claim that their treatment process removes up to 99% of antibiotic-resistant bacteria and genes without any additional treatment. However, and they also claim that the discharge is put many miles out into the ocean where it's safe, but Hyperion came under heavy criticism when it released millions of gallons of untreated sewage into the Santa Monica Bay in July of 2021.
Yeah.
We did that story. Remember people there?
Oh, yeah. No, they're full of
sick.
It.
Yeah.
No, they're full of it. They have massive leaks, and they won't own up to it. They didn't even tell anybody for hours and hours, remember? They had people swimming in the ocean.
They said everything's fine.
Yeah, people were inhaling antibiotic-resistant bacteria that day.
They could have. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, we're on from 1 to 4. You can pick up the show after 4 o'clock in its entirety at KFIAM640.com, the iHeartRadio app, John and Ken on demand. We're going to update you coming up after 3 o'clock with the city attorney for Huntington Beach, Michael Gates. Gavin Newsom and the attorney general, Rob Bunta, have struck back against Huntington Beach for saying we're not going to build over 13,000 new homes just because you say so. Zoning decisions should be ours. We'll explain what the state is going to try to do to punish Huntington Beach for that vote last week by their city council not to adopt this massive building project plan. That's coming up after the news at 3 o'clock. I am fascinated when something fails on a massive, massive scale, particularly when it involves somebody like the Facebook empire. This is the metaverse. Now, there's an update on the story. The metaverse, this makes sense if you go back 3 years and you think about all of the panic over the pandemic, which is a great name for it since panic's right there in the word. There was a belief by the big thinkers at Facebook that the metaverse was the future, that people would work, play, and shop together as avatars in digital worlds where you use virtual reality-powered devices. Usually it's a headset.
A big, heavy headset.
So they were building out reality-powered games, apps, and technology, spending enormous sums of money to build this because Mark Zuckerberg thought this is going to be the future, particularly now with the pandemic. People are not going to want to interact as personal anymore, travel to all these parts of the world. Now they can do it in the metaverse. It has failed so incredibly spectacularly, and now we're getting word that some of the engineers who were hired to help build out the metaverse made as much as $1 million, which in the software world, that's well above the average salary. Their pay packages are anywhere from $600,000 to $1 million. Facebook was paying a lot more than most gaming companies, said one chief executive. It's not an exaggeration to say that their total compensation is double or more than double at what you get at any of the large gaming company. The numbers, too, for the metaverse were stunning. Let me see if I can find it. I think it was in this other story about their losses.
Oh, their loss was $13.7 billion in 2022. $13.7 billion. That's the Meta Reality Lab division. That's just that division.
Just that division, right.
And then $3 billion, wait a second, $10 billion in 2021. So they lost $10 billion in 2021 and then $13 billion in 2022. That's $23 billion in 2 years. That's hard to comprehend.
Now, this is Meta's Reality Lab division. That's the part of the Facebook responsible for building out the augmented and virtual reality products.
So while they're losing $23 billion in 2 years, total revenue, $2 billion. Wow. This may be one of the biggest business disasters in history.
I can't think of anything that dwarfs this. This is massive. Since 2018, and this is worldwide, they've only sold 20 million MetaQuest headsets in 5 years. That's it. 20 million. And from what I understand, sometimes people just don't use them anymore. They give up. Meta was offering a $500 discount, a third off retail for people to buy their Quest Pro headsets.
I have read several stories where writers spent the day wandering around the metaverse. They put on the headset, the goggles, and they tried to engage, and they found it profoundly boring.
Suppose it's just a bunch of incels in a basement that's weird, like this, right?
It's weirdo guys.
Yeah.
It's weird, nerdy.
Remember there were women reporting they got hit on and digitally raped or something?
Digitally attacked.
Digitally attacked?
I saw an article. What do you do if you're digitally molested in the metaverse?
Which makes sense, because incels don't really want to leave the basement. And
no.
This is a way to make them think they're in the real world.
So
for 99% of the rest of the folks, I don't want to do this.
So are they sitting...
And people hate wearing headsets. It's very well known.
Are they sitting, with their zipper down in the basement, getting aroused over the imaginary woman on screen? Is that what this is? The descriptions are like you can go to a hotel, right, a metaverse hotel, and then go in the pool, and nobody has legs. Your avatars.
Kind of creepy.
They're just faces and torsos. And you go swim in the pool and you try to hit on the women in the pool, except there are no women because women don't do this. It's creepy guys who have no social skills and who smell bad.
Meta is still insisting it'll take years for this to really penetrate into the world, but I don't think
it's never going to penetrate. No. Not in our lifetimes. You know what? This is the curse of too much money. Too much money, and he didn't have a second idea. He had one idea.
Yeah, well, he just thought he was onto something that was going to be the future, but he was
he talked himself into
it.
No.
Yeah, he did.
You know, the Facebook thing made sense and worked, and Facebook primarily is just an advertising company. It's really no different than a newspaper or a television channel. It just sells advertising. That's how it makes its money.
All right, coming up next, Governor Newsom and Attorney General Rob Bonta are looking for a court order to punish Huntington Beach. They want to suspend the city's authority to issue building permits. Basically, they want to take this over because they want the city to build thousands of more housing units. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live, the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.